Welcome to Day 73 of My Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading in the book of Deuteronomy from the New American Standard Bible. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapters 8 through 10, and we will hear one of the most profound explanations ever given of the purpose of the wilderness experience. So if you're going through a wilderness time in your life right now, I think you'll find today's reading quite insightful. Starting at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. The Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone written by the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. It came about at the end of 40 days and nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, "Arise, go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten image for themselves." The Lord spoke further to me, saying, "I have seen this people, and indeed, it is a stubborn people. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they." So I turned and came down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. I took hold of the 2 tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small, until it was as fine as dust. I threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain. Again at Taberah and at Massah and at Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea saying, "Go up and possess the land which I have given you," then you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. So I fell down before the Lord the 40 days and nights, which I did because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people or at their wickedness or their sin. Otherwise, the land from which you brought us may say, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness.' Yet they are your people, even your inheritance, whom you have brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm." Chapter 10. At that time, the Lord said to me, "Cut out for yourselves two tablets of stone like the former ones and come up to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood for yourself. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood, and I cut out two tablets of stone like the former ones, and I went up on the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. He wrote on the tablets like the former writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are as the Lord commanded me. Now the sons of Israel set out from Beeroth Bene Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered as priest in his place. From there they set out to Gudgoda. From there Gudgoda to Jotbatha, a land of brooks of water. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve him, and to bless in his name until this day. Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him. I, moreover, stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights like the first time, and the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was not willing to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, "Arise, proceed on your journey ahead of the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you, above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we find what I consider one of the most profound revelations about the purpose of the wilderness for the people of Israel, as well as an encouragement for us when we are going through a difficult season of our life and we feel like we are out in the wilderness. This revelation is found in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, which we have just been listening to, and it's actually stated in two places. In chapter 8, in verse 2, it says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." So the purpose of the wilderness is very clear. That he might humble you. Humility, being for a person to be able to humble their heart before the Lord, means that you come in underneath the authority of God. That you have humility enough to not rebel against God. You have wisdom enough to recognize who God is and who you are not, as one man wisely said, or defined humility as, to know who God is and who we are not, so that there's a coming under the mission of God, so to speak. And so the Lord wanted the people of Israel, and He wants His people today, to have a heart of humility where we're willing to humble ourselves and bow under whatever God, whatever it is that God wants of us, and not to fight against God's will, and not to complain about God's dealings or the way that He does things. And that was the struggle that the children of Israel had, as you heard, as we walk through the book of Numbers, that an Exodus, that they resisted the Lord on so many occasions. They questioned God, they accused God, they did things that were in no way humble. And yet the purpose of the wilderness experience was to bring them to a point of humility where they bowed their hearts to the Lord. And so it is with us in our lives today. The Lord wants to humble us. He wants us to have utter dependence upon God and not on ourselves. And that is a mark of humility, where your dependence is on the Lord and not on your own strengths or wisdom or wit or intelligence. But instead, you have a heart utterly dependent upon God. And this is meant to be a reality check, so to speak, on who you are in relationship to God, in the midst of a very arrogant culture that we live in that trusts in itself rather than God. God wants a people that trusts in Him rather than itself. So this is the difference, and this was one of the main reasons for the Lord causing the people of Israel to walk through the wilderness before they were given the promised land. He knew it would not be wise or helpful to them if He took them straight out of bondage in Egypt, where they had been slaves and had a slave mentality, straight into the promised land where there was an abundance. They would not have been able to handle it. They would have been destroyed by that. So God had to change their mindset and change their heart attitude. And this was going to be done through this wilderness process if they were willing to humble themselves. Those who did not humble themselves and rebelled against the Lord died in the wilderness. And so it is with many people who claim to be Christians. When they hit a difficult season in their life, if they don't humble themselves and say, "Lord, I'm utterly dependent upon You," and they instead rebel against the Lord and say, "I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? You must not care about me." And you end up sounding like the Israelites who said, "You just brought us out here to kill us." That was their complaint to the Lord, against the Lord. And I've heard Christians say the same types of things when they were going through a difficult season. Instead of saying, "Lord, I don't understand all of this, but I humble myself before You. I submit my heart to You. I ask You to speak to me, teach me, and bring me through." Because you know, God's intention wasn't to have them die in the wilderness. That was not God's will. It is not God's will for you to perish in the wilderness you're experiencing right now and never get victory. On the contrary, God's purpose is bigger than your temporary comfort. You know, the Israelites weren't comfortable in the wilderness, but His purpose for them wasn't comfort. His purpose for them was to work on their hearts, work on their character, so that when He did bring them into the promised land, it would not destroy them. So don't allow current temporary inconveniences or discomfort or even hardships you're going through right now turn your heart away from the Lord. Instead, press in, humble yourself, ask the Lord to speak to you through this, and tell Him you're utterly dependent upon Him to bring you through it. And He will do it. He's looking to see if you will allow yourself to be humbled in the midst of your situation. The second reason that was given here in Deuteronomy 8 as a purpose for the wilderness situation, it said that He might test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. You know, tests in our lives, testing periods, trials that we go through, reveal to us what is in our hearts. You know, God's not lacking information ever. He knows what's in our hearts, but He allows us to walk through testing times to reveal to us what is in our heart, so that we can see, wow, I really do have a disobedient attitude here. I really do have a arrogant attitude against the Lord. I really am bitter. And the Lord does things so that it will show us what is in our heart and find out whether we will obey His commandments or not. So that was a critical, critical point that the Lord was trying to work in the Israelites during the wilderness period. It was one of the purposes. And I'm telling you, that's what God does with His children, where He is trying to bring them to a place where they can see what's in their own heart, repent of it, and line themselves back up with God and His ways and His thoughts and the way He does things. This is critical, and that's what a test reveals. I tell you, this is something that God showed me during one of the most difficult seasons of my personal life and our ministry life years back, where we went through such a difficult time. There was horrific financial pressure, trouble in the ministry, all kinds of things. And it felt at the time crushing. It felt like we wouldn't survive it. And you may be in a wilderness situation that feels just the same, that you're being crushed, that you're not going to survive the wilderness to ever see the promised land. And so it was for us in those years, and it was a period of years. It wasn't just a month or so. It took several years, and it wasn't until, and I didn't understand what was going on. I cried out to the Lord day and night. I complained in my prayers. I was crying and whining, and I probably sounded to God much like the children of Israel in the wilderness. And it wasn't until the Lord showed me this section of scripture in Deuteronomy where he explains through Moses what the purpose of the wilderness actually was. And then in verse 16 gives a little bit more that just helped my heart so much. Here's what it says in verse 16. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. So here's a recounting of the purpose, that he might humble you, that he might test you. But then the end of the story is given here, to do you good in the end. To do you good. The purpose was not to let you die in the wilderness, not to let you perish there, but to do you good in the end, to take you to the promised land. They were supposed to go through the wilderness, not camp there, not live there, and definitely not die there. That was not the heart of God. Whatever you're going through today, He is not trying to kill you. He is trying to humble you and test you so that you'll know what's in your heart, and that you'll see whether you're willing really to obey the Lord, and that those issues will be dealt with. You can come to a place of repentance for any area where your heart and mind and attitude is not in alignment with the Word of God, so that He can do you good in the end. When the Lord showed me this during that most difficult season of my life in ministry years back, this gave me hope, because I was in the midst of a season where I couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I couldn't see any way we could be delivered. I couldn't see any way out of the multitude of problems. And yet the Lord kept speaking to me that the wilderness, He fed His children with manna, which is their fathers didn't know. It was supernatural provision. In other words, they survived because of the supernatural provision. They didn't like it. It wasn't their favorite. It wasn't their choice. And that happens during wilderness seasons. God's providing, but maybe it's not your favorite way. Maybe it's not provision that you like the taste of, so to speak. And yet that's how God did it. He fed. He didn't let them die of starvation. He did feed them. And He allowed that season to happen in their life so that He could humble them, so that He could test them, to know what was in their heart, to see if they would obey, with the end purpose being to do them good in the end, to bring them into the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey, where victory would be theirs, victory would be sweet, where they would live in houses they didn't build and eat from vineyards they didn't plant. There was such a promise of blessing and prosperity there, but God didn't want to put them in that situation until they had humbled themselves and had lined themselves up with God's word and made the decision that they were going to be an obedient people unto the Lord. That's what God is saying to us today. If you're going through a difficult season, be of good cheer. His purpose is to do you good in the end. But allow Him to bring that humility. If you've been accusing God and whining to God and complaining to God, your very first step needs to be to repent and ask God to forgive you for accusing Him, questioning Him, questioning His wisdom, questioning His goodness. Ask God to forgive you. Repent for that. Bring your heart back into alignment with the Lord, where you have a humble heart. You're saying, Lord, forgive me. You know best. You know, Father knows best. He really does. Say, you know best. You know what I need. I ask you just to get me through this, but let my heart be lined up with you. And then secondly, begin to thank God continuously for whatever manna He has provided. Thank Him. If you continue to complain about the provision He has given you right now, even though it may not in your mind be enough or good enough, repent for that, ask the Lord to forgive you, and begin to give thanks very purposefully for every bit of provision and protection and help that He's giving you right now. And then believe and trust God's word is true and that He fully intends to do you good in the end. God bless you and give you a victorious week.